Hello, universe. Welcome to the Inventing the Future podcast with your host, Julian Alvarez. I'll tell you a little bit more about myself at the end of this episode, but first, I'd like to discuss the purpose and ideas behind this podcast. Let's start with why, because that's always a great starting point. So the mission of this podcast is to inspire and empower entrepreneurs to solve the world's biggest and most significant problems. Let's dissect this a little bit and start with the final part. Why specifically the focus on the world's biggest and most significant problems? And firstly, what is a significant problem? Like, how would you define that? I like to think of problems on four different dimensions. So the first dimension is scale. And this is basically like how many people have this problem, right? So the number of people with the problem is scale. That's number one. The second is frequency. The frequency is how often do people experience this problem? Do you experience it every day, every week, once a year, once in a lifetime, right? And then the third one is intensity. When they do experience the problem, how bad is it? How severe is the problem when it's experienced? And then the fourth and final one, a little bit outside of the problem itself, but is this problem growing or decreasing over time, right? Because it may be a bad problem, but if it's decreasing and it's actually getting better, then, you know, there's less potential there. So these four dimensions, scale, frequency, intensity, and whether the problem is growing or decreasing, are a good way to measure the magnitude of a problem. And I would say a significant problem is one where all of these four dimensions, or at least three of them, are pretty significant, right? Or pretty high. So let's go a little deeper here. Why significant problems? So I really like what Peter Diamandis says here. He says that the world's biggest problems are the world's biggest opportunities. And I'll go over three types of opportunities that problems create, right? There's three. It's impact, growth, and financial wealth. So the first one, impact, the world's biggest problems provide a huge opportunity for you to maximize your impact on and contribution to the universe. In essence, the bigger the problem is, the bigger the opportunity will be. And the bigger the opportunity is, the greater the potential for impact and contribution will be. You might be wondering, like, why are impact and contribution important? And I'll give you two main reasons. The first is simply that a life of contribution, service, and giving is a fulfilling life. I mean, many of us fool ourselves into thinking that financial wealth and material possessions are what we want the most, but what we actually want is the emotions that those material possessions will produce. The problem is that as soon as you achieve something or buy something, the euphoria will only last for anywhere between a few minutes to a few weeks. I mean, just think about the last time you bought a car, a house, a nice watch, a fancy purse, or you even achieved a big goal. Like, think about it. How long were you actually happy for because of it? It's probably not a long time, because with time, we become normalized to our reality, no matter how good or bad it is, which is why we constantly have to be in pursuit of new experiences and better opportunities. So in summary, with this point, who you become in the process of achieving your goals and what you are able to give because of how much you have grown personally and financially is far more meaningful than what you get or achieve in your life. The point here is that what you get only lasts a moment. Who you become in the process lasts a lifetime, but the impact of what you give and create in this life will echo throughout eternity. I really like how Tony Robbins puts it. He says that success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure. And just to give you an example, the way I define my success is based on the positive impact that I have on improving the lives of others, because that is what fulfills me the most. And I think about impact on two dimensions. One is the number of people you impact, right? The scale. And the second is how significantly you impact each person. So I like to picture a graph where these two dimensions are axes on a graph, right? On the x-axis, you have the number of people you impact, and on the y-axis, you have how significantly you impact each person. And then my goal is just to maximize the area under the curve, which is basically what you get from multiplying the number of people you impact by how significantly you impact each person. Take note that you can actually achieve the same area under the curve by providing a small amount of value to a lot of people, or to provide a lot of value to a small amount of people. I like to think big, so I don't like making this trade-off if I don't have to. I would rather add a significant amount of value to billions of people. And I think the only real way to do that is to solve the world's biggest and most significant problems. Okay, and so the second reason why impact and contribution are so important is because when we serve others, we are also serving ourselves because of who we want to become in the process of serving others, right? Like, in order to solve a significant problem or overcome a massive challenge, you will have to learn and grow an incredible amount. Like, you have no choice. In other words, like, if you want to invent the future, you have to start by reinventing yourself. And the thing is that when serving others on a massive scale becomes your North Star, then learning and growing becomes a means to achieving that end. I mean, we all want to be better and grow, but it is hard to become better and to grow just for the sake of wanting to grow. You need something much more powerful than a desire for growth. You need a reason to grow. You need a purpose that will fuel your growth. And when that purpose is in service of humanity, when that purpose extends far beyond yourself, it becomes so captivating that you have no choice but to grow and work to fulfill that purpose. Let me give you a quick example from my life. Ever since I can remember, I have felt a strong sensation of ambition within me. But throughout my childhood and most of my teen years, my ambition was mostly a desire for financial wealth. Because this ambition was self-centered, I never did much in response to what I felt. I mean, I quite literally overdosed on video games and TV. I never really read unless I had to for school. And I just ate a ton of junk food all the time, to the point where I remember thinking, like, wow, I guess I'm just going to live an ordinary life, because I knew I wasn't doing what I needed to do to live the life that I desired. But then something remarkable happened 4 years ago. I attended a Tony Robbins seminar named Unleash the Power Within, and I experienced many breakthroughs, but the most significant one of all was that I redefined my purpose in life to be something that was far greater than I could ever be. Through Tony's wisdom on the importance of giving and service, I was now more focused on how I could serve humanity rather than thinking about how rich I wanted to become. And with that shift, after the seminar, I felt that for the first time in my life, I had finally begun to act in alignment to that ambition that I had been feeling for so long. I had quite literally awakened the giant within me. And after the seminar, I almost entirely quit playing video games and watching TV because I started to care so much more about what I wanted the most rather than what I wanted right now, which, you know, is the instant gratification. I began reading and learning more than I ever had before because I realized that if I truly wanted to achieve my highest aspirations, then acquiring intelligence was a necessary means to that end. I didn't love reading at first, but I started to rewire my neurological associations to link pleasure to reading, especially because I knew it was a necessary part of the process. And now I absolutely love learning. I get such intense highs from it. Finally, I became extremely health conscious after that seminar because I knew that if I wanted to fulfill my purpose, I would need an abundance of energy. And so I now eat so many vegetables that several of my friends call me a plant. They think it's an insult. I think it's a compliment. I like plants. So just to recap here, when we serve others, we are also serving ourselves. Because when we work in service to all of humanity, we have no choice but to take massive action and grow exponentially in the process. I'll leave one final quote here on this point that I really like by Gandhi. He says, when we find ourselves, when we lose ourselves in the service of others. All right, so the second type of opportunity that problems create are the opportunities for professional and personal growth. The biggest problems and the toughest challenges present the greatest learning opportunities. But you know, initially, problems may appear to be something negative and overwhelming, but problems actually become gifts once you realize that they are actually opportunities in disguise. Problems can either be growth or business opportunities if you look at the problem from a perspective of what you can learn or what you can do differently to solve the problem. Okay, so you grow a lot, but why is growth important? I'd say two main reasons. One, progress is happiness. And if you're not growing, you're dying. But you know, growth is not easy and there will be ups and downs, but you have to acknowledge that that's part of the journey. Like, let me give you this perspective. The only way to know that you are alive is if you have a heartbeat, right? And a heartbeat goes up and down, and if it becomes smooth, you're dead. So if you are here looking for a smooth life, you're already dead. The ups and downs tell you you are alive, so embrace it. Okay, and the second reason why growth is so important is because the more you grow, the more you have to give. And it works the other way too. The more you give, the more opportunities that will be presented to you. And one of the reasons this happens is because of the law of reciprocity. When you give to others, they will want to give back to you. It's just human nature. And when people give back to you, you are able to grow even more, which allows you to give even more. And it goes on in a never-ending cycle. You grow, you give, you receive, you grow, and then you give more. And this is, in essence, why life gives to the givers and takes from the takers. And it's also why Tony Robbins says that the secret to living is giving. And also, keep in mind that when you give the most of yourself to the people you love and to the people you are serving through your work, you magnify the human experience for yourself and others. So the more you grow, the more you have to give. But in order to give the most of yourself, you have to make the most of yourself. And that's why growth is so important. Okay, the third and final opportunity that is created here from big problems is the opportunity to grow your wealth. Let me ask you this. Do you want to become a billionaire? Well, as Peter Diamandis says, the best way to become a billionaire is to solve a billion person problem. Think about that one for a minute. All right, so money is not the most important thing. I learned this the hard way, but it is important for many reasons. I'll just give you two. So the first is that the more money you have, the more money you are able to invest in yourself, which will help fuel your growth. Money fuels growth, growth fuels giving, and giving results in opportunity to make more money and to grow more. So all of this, if you're noticing, all of this is a cycle that just supports itself, right? And then again, this is just a more direct way, but the second reason money is important is because the more money you have, the more you're able to give. You can donate money, you can do philanthropic pursuits. This is a way, again, to magnify your impact and contribution to the universe. One final note on money. If you have some deep-rooted fears about money, just know that money doesn't necessarily change who you are. It allows you to become more of who you already are. So if you're a bad and unethical person, then you have more money to be bad with. But if you're a good, kind-hearted person, well, then money allows you to do more with that good that you have within you. Cool. Okay, so those are the three types of opportunities that problems create, right? One, again, is maximizing your impact and contribution to the inner universe. Two is your professional and personal growth. And three is growing your wealth. And one final thing I'll mention here is that when it comes to solving significant problems, I think it's also important to consider the opportunity cost. Like, why would you work to solve a small and insignificant problem when you can dedicate your precious time and ephemeral life to solving a significant problem? Now, you might be wondering, like, okay, this sounds great, but how am I supposed to solve the world's biggest problems? Besides, the world's biggest problems are unsolved because they're extremely difficult to solve, and they are likely almost impossible to solve. So why even bother? Well, firstly, I agree with you when you say, how am I supposed to do it? Because you need to find a great team to make it work. And secondly, look, I'm not going to glorify entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is tough as hell. And many people don't realize how difficult entrepreneurship is until you actually see what's behind the covers. You will confront significant challenges, failures, and adversities along the way. I mean, the amount of work that you put in the beginning is completely disproportional to the results that you'll see from your efforts. It takes time to get to where you want to get. And it's easy to want to give up when things aren't working out or when there are challenges that you do not know how to overcome. I've myself have considered giving up with my current startup because of the lack of results we have had and how challenging things have been at times. But what has always allowed me to persevere is understanding how incredibly significant the problem we are solving is, especially because I got the opportunity to speak to our users and see the problem from their perspective. One thing I always think back to as well is what Elon Musk says. And he says, when something is important enough, you do it even if the odds are not in your favor. Such a powerful quote. And so, you know, difficult problems have a lower probability of success. But when the problem is significant and meaningful, you will be fueled with the passion you need to overcome the challenges along the journey. And this critical component of perseverance increases your chances of success significantly. But you will only be able to persevere if you find a problem you are obsessed about. Not just passionate, obsessed about. Let me put it to you this way. You can have a great idea, but ideas don't work. People do. And what makes people work is an idea worth working for. And the more significant the problem you're solving is, the more you will be willing to work to make it work. One of the best pieces of advice I have ever received is that if you aren't willing to dedicate 10 years of your life to solve a problem, then you shouldn't even try. It has to matter to you that much if you want to have a good shot at success. And for those of you that have full-time jobs that you cannot leave, I know it's not easy, but you will have to put in extra work to make your idea come to life. I know it's not an easy thing to balance a side project on top of a full-time job, but you will have a hell of a lot more motivation to do so when the problem you are aiming to solve is significant. Now I'm going to go to the first part of the mission where I talked about inspiring and empowering entrepreneurs. So why entrepreneurs? Why entrepreneurship? Well, let me say this. There has never been a better time to be alive. The quality of life that an average person has today is exponentially better than it was 100, 200, 1,000 years ago. We are literally living during the most exciting time in human history. And technology has played a significant role in creating the world we have today. But it is not technology alone that brought us here. Our prosperity is the result of teamwork between entrepreneurs and the tools and technologies that augment our capabilities. And as the rate of change of technology continues to accelerate, it is entrepreneurs and their teams who will shape how technology works for us. I mean, we really live in an abundant world, but there are a countless number of problems around the world that have not yet been solved. For example, some of the most significant problems that exist right now involve the environment, racial inequality, gender inequality, homelessness, poverty, corrupt governments, fake news, polarization, an outdated education system, an inefficient and ineffective healthcare system, and so on and so forth. I don't tell you this to depress you because the world is actually pretty amazing apart from those problems, but I tell you this so that I can make you aware of the incredible opportunities that exist today for innovation and disruption. And it is important to emphasize this point because many people think that there are so many ideas and products in existence that there isn't any more space for innovation. But as long as there are problems to solve in the world, there will be opportunities for new solutions. And that's what this podcast is all about. It is about inspiring and empowering you as an entrepreneur to solve the biggest and most significant problems, because the future is not guaranteed. It unfolds as the result of massive action, the choices you make, the risks that you take. The world needs entrepreneurs more than ever before, and the potential for entrepreneurs to disrupt industries and solve problems on a massive scale has never been greater. You may not believe me, but let me give you three reasons why the opportunity for disruption is greater than ever before. So the first is that starting a company is cheaper than it ever has been before. The cost of technology has dropped significantly, while the power of technology has increased exponentially over time. In 1995, for example, it would have cost you around $5 million to get a team together, build a website, set up servers, and do everything else you needed to do to start a company. But today, in most cases, starting a company will not cost you more than $5,000. The second reason has to do with the convergence of exponential technologies. So over time, faster computers have helped build faster computers, and these faster computers have enabled new technologies to be built. Computational power has increased so much, we can now run Hyperloop simulations on the cloud and test the whole system for safety and reliability. I mean, exponential technologies like AI, augmented reality, virtual reality, blockchain, robotics, 3D printing, and many others are converging with each other to enable new capabilities. And because of these new capabilities, we are able to solve problems that could not be solved before. And just as some context, convergence means using many different exponential technologies together in a single product. For example, autonomous electric cars are leveraging the convergence of AI and machine learning for the autonomous driving, lithium-ion batteries for the range of the car, 3D printing for building prototypes of the car, robotics for manufacturing the car, and many, many other technologies. And the third and final reason I'll mention why the time now is better than ever to be an entrepreneur is because there has been a massive increase in venture funding. In the US alone, venture funding went from $8 billion in 1995 to $88 billion in 2020. That's literally an 11 times more funding in the span of 25 years. And large chunks of this capital are flowing into technology. This is a trend we are seeing around the world, not just in the US. And these venture capitalists are willing to pour money into the ideas that have a massive growth potential. And the bigger and more significant the problem you are aiming to solve is, the more likely they are to pour massive amounts of money into your venture. Okay, to sum up the point on entrepreneurship, let me put it to you this way. 500 years ago, the only people capable of solving global grand challenges were kings, emperors, and pharaohs, the royalty, right? Then 200 years ago, this power expanded to the industrialists who built our transportation systems and financial institutions. And then recently, 30 years ago, it was large corporations or big governments. But today, our ability to solve large-scale problems has become thoroughly democratized to the point where now a single individual or team driven by a purpose can change the world. I truly believe that you can change the world and manifest whatever you set out for your life. Is it easy? Of course not. Is it worth it? It is worth every ounce of pain and suffering you experience to achieve the creation of a better future, because that will make humanity as a whole so much more unified and better. And look, I think what matters most of all, regardless of what career path you take, is that you develop and operate your life with an entrepreneurial mindset. And what this means is that where others see horrifying problems and overwhelming challenges, you see tremendous business and growth opportunities. You look at the world differently. And you can operate with an entrepreneurial mindset in your personal and professional life, no matter what your career is. And in order to operate with an entrepreneurial mindset, all you have to do is to look at the world, not for what it is, but rather look at the world for what it can be. Because we can create any future we want if we can imagine it. And our job is not just to imagine the future we envision, but to live in that world so vividly that people think you are hallucinating. So dream so big that people think you are absolutely crazy. And if people don't think you are crazy, then dream even bigger. And the thing to realize here is that you are actually not crazy and delusional for dreaming big, because with all of these technologies that we have at our disposal today, the only limitation to your potential is the limitation of what the mind fails to imagine and believe is possible. With that, I want to quickly say how I plan on delivering on my mission to you. In this podcast, I'll mostly be interviewing guests, but I will also have episodes where I share invaluable lessons, stories, insights, and challenges I'm experiencing throughout my journey as an entrepreneur. For the interviews, I'll focus on entrepreneurs that are solving big and meaningful problems so that we can increase the awareness of these problems and highlight the startups that are working to solve them. If you find that you're passionate about solving any of these problems, then you really have three main options. The first is that you can engage your infinite source of creativity to come up with ideas on how you could solve the problem in an entirely new way. And by the way, I recommend that you do this even if you don't end up starting a company, just so that you can exercise your creativity muscle, because the more you exercise your creativity, the better you get at it. And at the end of every episode, I will be making a post on the Facebook group that I created for this community to ask how you would go about solving the problem that was discussed in the episode. And I encourage you to write down your answers here and engage with others. The second thing you can do if you find yourself being passionate about solving a problem is that you can join the startup featured in the interview or another startup that is solving the same or similar problem. And this is also a great option because I think working to solve a problem you really care about is more important than whether you are the one to create the company or not. And I mean, at my current startup, I wasn't the one that discovered the problem or came up with the idea, but I decided to join near the beginning as a co-founder because I realized that the problem was so big and significant that I cared more about working to solve the problem rather than worrying about whether I was the one that came up with the idea or not. And when I do start my own company in the future, I'll be a hell of a lot more prepared thanks to this experience. Okay, and the third and final thing you can do if you find a problem you're passionate about is that you can influence whatever company you work at to solve this problem if it is within the domain of the company. And in this sense, you can operate as an entrepreneur, which is kind of like being an entrepreneur within a company. This may be difficult to do depending on the company, but if you can back up your case with data, your argument for moving in a direction you propose will be much more compelling. And actually, there's a fourth option. Decide to do nothing and live an ordinary life, because if you aren't proactive about living an extraordinary life, then ordinary will claim you. Now, apart from focusing on the problems that these entrepreneurs are solving, I'll start by asking them why they decided to be an entrepreneur. Then we'll actually dive into the problem space. Then we'll look at their unique solution and the problem behind the initiative. And finally, I'll dig deep to uncover the mindsets, the insights, the tools, the strategies, and the wisdom from them that will help empower you to succeed as an entrepreneur. And I do want to have a specific focus on mindset here, because I think that even if you have the best idea in the world, if you have the tools to bring it to life and you have the funds and you have the people, you could still easily fail if you don't have the right mindset that will help you persevere through all the challenges and failures that you'll face. You have to operate from the mindset that there is no problem that can be solved in order to give your mind the confidence it needs to come up with the breakthrough solution. Now, I think mindset is your most important and valuable tool as an entrepreneur, and I could talk endlessly about it, but I'll save it for another episode. And the final way I plan on delivering on my mission is by creating a community where you can meet like-minded people and either collaborate on an idea or help each other out by sharing your experiences and insights. And the main idea here behind the community is that the potential of a single mind is limited, but when the consciousness of a mind unifies with others, its potential is magnified. In other words, 1 + 1 does not equal 2. It far exceeds 2. Many times we think to ourselves, I'm not enough, or I'm not good enough, or I can't do that. But notice that this limiting belief makes use of the word I and not we. In some cases, it may be true that you are not capable of doing something on your own. However, it is rarely the case that a collective intelligence is incapable of achieving something. A single mind is limited in its power, but the collective synergy between many minds is infinitely powerful. So for this reason, I have created a Facebook group, and you can find the link to it in the show notes for this episode. And I will be committed to serving this community and would be happy to help others with any questions or challenges that come up throughout your journey. So in closing, as I said, I'll tell you a tiny little bit about myself. So my name is Julian. Hello. And I'm an entrepreneur, software engineer, podcaster, and a lifelong learner. Currently, I'm a co-founder and the CTO of an early stage startup named Vize, where we aspire to help billions of low-skilled workers find a job that they love and to empower them with the skills they need to advance socioeconomically, to be able to retrain them. And in the next episode, I'll talk a little bit more about Vize and my entrepreneurial journey. And so I actually just recently graduated from Texas A&M University with a degree in computer science. And in June 2021, I will start working as a software engineer with Facebook at their headquarters in Silicon Valley. And yes, I will still be working on Vize, on the startup, on top of Facebook, because I love working all the time and I have the energy for it. Okay, and previously I have interned as a software engineer at Facebook, LinkedIn, and Goldman Sachs. There's a lot more to me, so if you'd like to learn more about me, go to julianalvarez.me, and I'll also include that in the show notes along with my social media handles. If you are currently an entrepreneur, an aspiring entrepreneur, an innovator, a disruptor, or a highly ambitious person that wants to make a massive dent in the universe, then this podcast is for you. If this is of interest, I invite you to subscribe to the podcast and subscribe to my newsletter and follow the podcast social media accounts so that you can be notified about new episodes. I'll also include insights, resources, and quotes in the newsletter that are designed to help you live a healthier, fulfilling, and more productive life. The link to the newsletter and social media handles will also be in the show notes. And also, if you found any of the topics in this episode or in this podcast interesting, feel free to reach out to me, and I would be happy to recommend any books or resources to help you out with whatever you need. And the goal here is to have episodes every 2 weeks on Thursdays. I'll commit to that. Okay. And with that, my friends, I would like to welcome you on board to this rocket ship. Just tighten your seatbelts, because I don't know where the hell this rocket is going, but I sure as hell do know it's going to be a hell of a ride. And before I go, let me leave you with this. As Alan Kay says, the best way to predict the future is to invent it. So now I'll ask you, how will you invent the future? I'll talk to you guys soon. Take care and stay infinite, my friends.